Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One ball, one strike. In the air, center field. Correa's watching. This is back, and it's gone! It's a walk-off home run! Carlos Correa! Astros win!
I feel good where we are because we don't have to get on that plane and come back to Houston. I mean, these guys, we all want to go to Dallas. You know what I mean? And I was playing Freddie King again today before the game. I'm going to play him again, you know, tomorrow. And that was wonderful.
Dusty Baker talking about the home run, Carlos Correa's home run, which honestly, Seth, Carlos Correa's home run last night may as well, if the Astros go on to win tonight, and certainly if they go on to win the series, you could argue that the fact that Correa hit that home run in the ninth inning and not the 13th inning after they burned through four innings of Fromber and then have to move Lance up in the rotation and then potentially throw Urquidy and Greinke back in there in game seven. You could argue that Carlos Correa's home run in the ninth inning, because it prevented extra innings, if the Astros go on to win another game or two, that it's winning those games for them as well. That this was a multi-win home run because the Astros were at the end of their rope as far as pitchers go. You know, as far as without having to dig into Friday and Saturday pitchers. I mean, the magnitude of that home run cannot be overstated. It was absolutely huge, not just emotionally, but functionally for this team, what it meant. It was gigantic.
Yeah, and Carlos Correa, who has just had so many great moments in the playoffs, obviously, just came through with maybe I don't want to say the best moment in the playoffs, but maybe just the most unique and in some ways emotionally poignant moments in the playoffs because of everything this team has been through in this incredibly weird season between the sign-stealing scandal, between COVID, between a shortened regular season in which almost none of the Astros' offensive players looked quite like themselves. It all felt like a culmination of sorts. And I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I don't even care if they make it to the World Series, because damn it, I'm greedy. I want them to make the World Series and win the World Series. But if they don't make the World Series, I'm going to feel like this is way more. I got way more out of this team in this postseason than I really anticipated a couple months ago. And it was all just because, look, when everything else has been just seemingly really morose almost about this Astros team, Correa just kept plugging along the whole way. And he's in a lot of people's minds, he was not the guy that they would have expected to be the stalwart and the leader of this team in so many ways.
Yeah, I think one of the things they're doing, Seth, is you bring that up, boy, this regular season was, you know, it was strange and it was, you know, it didn't really set an expectation level for me, at least, that they were going to make a ton of noise in the postseason. I think the Astros have single-handedly probably ruined the chance for the playoffs to be expanded this significantly going forward. I think there were a lot of people that kind of like this format that feel like, oh, eight teams, and we get that 2 or 3 day period with all that wild card baseball. Remember that there was that one day where there were eight baseball games in one day. It had that March Madness sort of feel to it and expanding the playoffs maybe might create more intrigue down the stretch in a season. The Astros, if they make a run to the World Series, people are going to immediately point to that going, we can't have a team, even a team that's been to the World Series 2 out of the last 3 years. It's not a good look to have a team that goes 29-31 or whatever the 162 game equivalent of that would be we just can't have that. We can't have a sub 500 team with the possibility of making a deep run. Even a team that's been good the last few years making a run to the playoffs. I think they may expand the playoffs. I could see them going from five teams to six teams in each league. But the Astros are single-handedly killing the eight-team playoff in each league right now.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's yeah, that's not going to happen again.
Nope.
I know, look, people are going to be really quick to, even if the Astros win the ALCS, you know, if they win the AL, people are going to want to assign an asterisk to that. I think that it was the right format for this year, just because you only need to go back to a calendar year ago where a team like the Washington Nationals clearly didn't show who they were as a team through the first 80 games of a season. So it's just too hard to say, oh yeah, the best teams would have been defined in 62 games and these are the teams that belonged in the playoffs. It's just, it's not that simple or easy, especially in baseball.
Well, I think what's interesting about that, and we should mention here, we're going to carry Romeo Crennel's press conference in the next segment. Lisa Ann joins us for a few minutes at the bottom of the hour for fantasy football advice in a week that has had the coronavirus show up on its front stoop again in Indianapolis with the Colts. What's interesting about that, Seth, is that I think I saw, I can't remember if I saw you tweeted or somebody else tweeted, or it was a tweet you sent to me. I think you sent it to me, that somebody pointed out that the footprint of time that the Astros were under scrutiny for in 2017 for the sign stealing was a period of 60 games in which they went 29-31, which was their identical record to what they finished this year, which was interesting on two fronts. One, they were cheating during that time, and it didn't even result in a good record. Their record outside of the cheating window was cumulatively better than it was inside the cheating window. Secondly, it just proves that even great teams can go 29-31. That was a team that won the World Series. They went 29-31 over a specific 60-game footprint that year. Most good teams do that over the course of a year at some point.
Cody Bellinger, who, you know, very angrily asked, why would they stop? You know, because nobody wants to believe that the Astros would have stopped cheating in 2018 or 2019, despite the fact that the players were given immunity. And because, like, people want to believe that the Astros lied about the year they won this, or told the truth about the year they won the Super Bowl, but then lied about the other years. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But when Cody Bellinger asked, oh, why would they stop? The Astros had already revealed the answer in internal documents because it wasn't working. Like, there are emails from the Astros in September of 2017 saying, like, this isn't working anymore. And if anything, it's actually detrimental to some of these guys.
Yeah.
So that's where, look, should the Astros have been punished more harshly because they did cheat? If you have that argument, fine. But don't act like the Astros weren't just independently an awesome team in 2017. Because when you do that, it really shows that you haven't done anything more than read some headlines and paid the scantest amount of attention to the actual scandal, and you don't give a damn about actually knowing the truth about things.
Okay. Sometimes voice-to-text is really funny. I'm assuming this is voice-to-text. Text message, Seth. If we go on to win the World Series, do you think that people are going to put an asterisk on this win too? Ass trick. A-S-S.
Oh, space. Two separate words?
Okay. Ass trick.
That's how he's going to put an ass trick on that. Carlos Correa. He'll make that his, he'll tap that ass. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What are they going to say now?
Ass trick. Huh? That's what they're going to say.
Yeah, I'll tell you what is clean cut Scarface. That's who.
Right.
What do we got to come up with a nickname for Carlos when he sounds like Scarface. Yeah. He says, what are they going to say about us now? Yeah.
His voice is like three octaves higher than what a Scarface would sound like, though.
Well, it's because he hasn't been up for 72 hours doing blow, as far as I know.
He is a ball of fire, though, I tell you, this guy. Other text messages here. We just got done talking about Clowney in the previous segments. Guys, can we stop pretending Clowney is elite? He's good, but he's not overall first pick good. Can we be honest and admit he is a bust versus his expectations?
No. This is what I don't get. This is kind of the same way people evaluate Daryl Morey. Like, at some point, yes, you got to move beyond number one overall pick. Sean, were we debating whether he was worth the number one overall pick?
We were not.
No, we were not. Like, that's the dumbest. Frankly, with all due respect, I feel like you weren't even paying attention to us before you texted that in. in that last segment, we were not sitting there saying, like, well, clearly, the Jadeveon Clowney is worth the number one overall pick, and that's how we shall judge him for the rest of time. No, we're talking about what his impact is on a football game, whether he's worth DeMarcus Lawrence money. You know who wasn't a number one overall pick? DeMarcus damn Lawrence.
Right.
And he's not over it. Like, it's just, you got to somehow get rid of your own emotional baggage about whether a guy was a good pick or not, and just talk about the actual player on the field and what he can provide for you, or whether he's a threat in the game this Sunday, which he is.
Even giving the texter the benefit of the doubt and saying, referring to the we, that he's, can we stop pretending Clowney's elite, that he's referring more to the football world at large and not me and you, Seth. I don't think the football world at large thinks he's elite. I don't think anybody, if someone thought he was elite, he would have the contract of an elite football player right now.
Yeah,
there's not a team. There's not a team left in the NFL that views Clowney that way.
I'm so tired of everything having to be either crap or awesome. Like, there's an in-between.
Yeah.
But there's not, you know, I was doing this, it's the damn election. Everybody, we're in election mode, political mode. I sense it on the text line today. Today is the point where all of a sudden everybody's psyche is affected by politics, because I've seen people are agitated for no good reason about simple things. I said, wow, it's really nice for Dusty Baker to be able to experience a playoff walk-off home run. That's the first time in his career. The response on the text line is, hey, Dusty's not even a good manager. I'm like, I wasn't even talking about any involvement Dusty even had in that. I was talking about, like, him being a spectator in that moment.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Stop letting it, everybody, stop letting it infiltrate your entire lives, because now you're affecting my mood, and that is, we cannot abide that.
No.
We must protect Seth's mood.
We must. Well, you've only got about 40 minutes, 39 minutes to get through, so you can do this. You can get to the finish line.
I will say, though, that is something that, yeah, when you look at football players, you gotta, once they make it past that first contract, you gotta forget about whether the draft pick was worth it or not.
Right.
Because just the same way there will be an Arian Foster who deserves really, really good money, it doesn't mean that there is a first round draft pick where, even though he wasn't worth that number one overall pick, doesn't mean that he doesn't have value as a football player.
Right.
Like, so apparently, you, as a number one overall pick, you either have to be all pro or out of the league. You're not allowed to have any value at all unless you're all pro.
No,
and then you're a complete waste of a human being.
Romeo Crennel.
This guy must be married to Miss Universe with another Miss Universe on the side. Because otherwise, why would you even marry a woman if it's not the absolutely epitome of everything you dream and desire?
And in high school, dated a completely hideous woman that he thought was good-looking, that was good-looking for a while and then became hideous. So
and all his... This guy's kids are all Rhodes Scholars, and if not, they have been disowned.
Right.
He probably has four children and a fifth one that he doesn't talk about because he's not allowed to eat.
Romeo Crennel met with the media at the top of the hour.
This guy chopped off his own penis because he was only 6.5 inches.
All right, this is where I need to jump in. Romeo Crennel met with the media at the top of the hour. Are you done? Romeo Crennel met with the media at the top of the hour. And we will have it for you. He talked about this Titans game coming up for a few minutes. Lisa Ann jumps in with us here at the bottom of the hour for some fantasy football advice. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Payne and Pendergast with you, Sports Radio 610. Payne and Pendergast will have the Texans countdown show at 9 a.m. on Sunday for the Texans and the Titans. Kickoff is at noon. You can hear that game right here as well. And then Clint Sterner and I will have the postgame show taking you up to Sunday Night Football. Romeo Crennel, Texans head coach, met with the media at the top of the hour. Let's spend a few minutes with the Texans head coach.
Aaron Wilson, you want to start us off?
Thank you. Good morning, Romeo. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
Well, thank you. Romeo, how did you feel like Jordan Akins did this week in practice? You're dealing with an injury like his. Do you feel like he's ready to come back, or is it more of a game time type of deal, or do you feel good about it?
Well, he made a little progress, you know. We'll probably wait till the game time to make a determination on him.
Thank you.
Aaron, you got anything else? No one else has their hand up right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, actually, I do. Romeo, when you look at the Titans, and we talk a lot about their offense, but what do you see from their defense and some of the top players that they have on their defense?
Well, I think their defense is a pretty solid defense. You know, they got several guys on the front that are active, can make plays, disruptive. Linebackers run to the ball pretty good. You know, the DBs, you got Butler, who has instincts, tremendous instincts. You got J.J.O. who has tremendous experience. And so I think that those guys play to their strength. May not be the fastest guys in the world, but they are effective. And so I think that when you put that whole defense together, they're pretty solid.
Cody.
Good morning, Romeo.
Good morning.
How much of the defensive game plan of stopping the run from last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars can carry over this week when you going up against a guy like Derrick Henry?
Well, yeah, you're right. We're facing a different type runner. And so we have to understand what his strengths are and then try to take advantage of his inability to get to those strengths. So we have to try to make it tough for him to get to the second level. Because once he gets to the second level, he becomes a beast, you know. And so we try to, if we can keep him at the line of scrimmage or close to the line of scrimmage, then we improve our chances of slowing him down.
Aaron?
I was wondering, you've done this before when you go from you're coaching the defense and then you're coaching the whole team. What's it like for you from some of the things you have to do now, the increase in your responsibilities beyond, you know, you have defense, you have the offense, you have the special teams, but you also have personnel, you have things like this to do. What are some of the things that your day just kind of the changes in your schedule and things you have to hand on?
Well, you know what, the time is the big thing because you do have more things to do. You're involved with more decisions that need to be made, and all of that takes time. And you still need to try to get some rest at some point, you know. And so that's the toughest part of it is the time and time management. And so I still enjoy the football end of it, and I try to stay on top of the football thing because that's the thing that's going to help us the most, I believe. But managing your time.
Are you a list guy? What do you do? Everybody talks about managing time. All of us struggle with that, but what do you do to try to manage your time?
What I do is I try to itemize the things that I have to get done day to day and then somewhat on a weekly basis also, you know, for this week, boom, I want to look at special teams at this time. I want to look at offense at this time. I want to look at defense at this time, you know, and then you got to practice and you got to make sure that after practice, you got to watch the tape. You got to plan the next day's practice, you know, and then whatever comes up from the front office, you have to deal with.
Thank you.
Hey, Romeo, last question. What's the latest on Kiki Coutee and how long would it be until we see him on the field? We really haven't seen him too much this season.
Well, he is working hard at practice like all the other guys are. And, you know, sometimes you have to kind of wait your turn. And then when you get that opportunity, take advantage of it. You know, just like happened last week with Terrell Adams. You know, hadn't been out there a whole lot, but then he had an opportunity and he took advantage of it and he showed up on game day, you know. And so I think that's the same thing with any player who is not playing, who's not starting, you know. They are waiting their turn and they're trying to do the best they can in practice and hoping that they get an opportunity to play in the game.
All right, that's Romeo Crennel with some life lessons on to-do lists right there. Seth, are you sad you weren't on that press conference so you could have made some to-do list recommendations for Romeo Crennel?
I could have showed him my Tetris model where I have it like a color-coded system and it's fun because you like check off all these little boxes. He probably would have been cool. I'm sure his grandkids gave him an iPhone or something a couple Christmases ago. He's probably – what version iPhone does Romeo have?
3.
I'm going to – no, you get 3 doesn't even work anymore. I think 6 doesn't – my mom just had to get rid of – she had something. She had an antiquated iPhone. I think 6 is the last one that works. So yeah. I'd say he's got an iPhone 6.
Which one is the one that has the plus? Is it the 7 plus or the 6 plus?
I think we started with the 7s with the plus.
Okay, I think he's got a 7 plus because that's the first one that has the bigger screen. And he's older and he's got those readers, you know, those with the glasses. So I feel like he needs the bigger screen. Yeah.
I had to turn my and then I could create an app. Hey, one of our listeners needs to get with me and we'll create an app for my Tetris model of time management. We got to come up. We can't call it Tetris, I'm sure, because I'm sure that's trademarked.
You
I'm
could.
Not giving, I'm not giving
How much
them
money
their
you
royalties.
Got? You can call it anything if you got enough money, you know?
I'll call it. You know what? If I use it and I have to pay like a 3% royalty, I'll go for that just for the name recognition.
Hell yeah.
No, I thought, look, I'm glad Aaron Reese brought up Jordan Akins because we don't know, and nobody has asked this yet, but they should be concerned about Jordan Akins, whether he's going to play or not this week. Remember, Harrison Smith had that illegal hit on him a couple weeks ago in which Jordan Akins injured both his head and his ankle. It was a damn train wreck of a car accident of an injury there. He was limited in practice yesterday. I would guess he'll be limited again today. I hope we get to see him because we talked earlier about not letting the defense dictate your play calling to you. And, hey, just because a defense is playing zone cover two, then you can still take shots downfield. But one way that you can do it is to have Jordan Akins down the seam, just like on that very play that Harrison Smith hit him. That was a nice deep strike into the soft spot in the seam in cover two. Jordan Akins is the guy that's most capable of doing that. I think Deshaun is going to find that connection more and more and more with Tim Kelly as the play caller. I think they're going to spread the ball around more liberally. I think they're going to threaten more areas of the field. That doesn't mean that Tim Kelly's some kind of genius or anything. I think it's just that O'Brien had hamstrung this offense in some respects with some of his oddities of play calling. Jordan Akins is a big key in breaking out of that mold.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, Darren Fells had the catch and run for the touchdown against the Jags, Seth, but that was more a schemed open kind of thing. You know, he was running wide open. There was a breakdown in coverage there.
Well, Joe Schobert just let him walk and run right past him. And I almost think Schobert was the spy in that game too. They had him spying Hopkins a lot. And I almost wonder if he had bad eye discipline on that. Like if he had eyes stuck in the backfield.
Yeah. I mean, Akins is a guy that I think has plus level ability. He's a guy that can make covered catches, you know, and they don't have many of those guys on this team right now, you know?
No, and, Fells, oh, wait, is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about Akins. I'm talking about, when I'm talking about the tight ends, you're talking about Akins being a bigger part of the offense,
yeah.
and I brought up Fells because Fells did an admirable job being the main guy getting the snaps.
Yeah,
so I'm saying where Akins comes in is Fells is a guy who is going to catch the things that are supposed to be caught by the tight end position, whereas Akins is a guy who I think makes plus level plays.
No. I was asking about that busted coverage play.
You were talking about
Fells on that, right? I just wanted to be sure I was talking about the same play.
Yes. The touchdown that Fells scored in the game.
So I think that Akins is a big part of it. I think that it looked like they were trying to get the running backs more involved in the passing game in more of a like an actual receiving threat type of a way instead of just as the last option on a dump off. So let's see. You know, I don't if Deshaun really breaks out over the course of the second half of the season and blossoms in some ways and spreads the ball around more, I'm going to be more inclined to really attribute that to Tim Kelly and different play calling than I would say, like, oh, well, COVID got them off to a slow start. Because there's certain things we've never really seen with Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson since Bill O'Brien has been here. So any positive developments I see, I'm not going to give Bill O'Brien the benefit of the doubt and say, like, oh, well, COVID screwed up their training camp. Screw that. COVID screwed up lots of training camps. They didn't look as lackluster as the Texans offense did.
Real quick, because we got Lisa Ann coming up here in a few minutes. The point about the running backs is a good one, Seth. I think David Johnson's been underwhelming running the ball, but there have been times where he's been open in the passing game. And I don't just mean screens or dump offs. He was open for that deep shot down the field, I think, in the Baltimore game it was. He was open in the end zone in this last game against Jacksonville, and Deshaun overshot him. There have been other plays where Deshaun's decided to throw to other guys, and David Johnson's been open running little, you know, H-angle plays underneath and things like that. I wonder if we're looking at David Johnson a little bit differently if two or three of those plays connect. You know what I mean? Like just a few plays like that in the passing game. All right, Lisa Ann, our fantasy football expert. I feel like we talk about the coronavirus with her as much as we do fantasy football because the two are intertwined. The Indianapolis Colts, the latest team to have a COVID outbreak. And Odell Beckham Jr. has been sent home from the facility in the last couple days just from showing some symptoms. So how do fantasy football players handle the latest wave of the corona and injuries? Dak Prescott and so forth. We'll get into all of that, some stardoms and sit-ems with Lisa Ann. We'll spend a few minutes with her next. All right, start texting them in. Stardom, sit-ems, questions about fantasy football that you've got. We're going to talk some fantasy football here with Lisa Ann. Real quick on the text page, Seth, people are saying the 6, the iPhone 6 is the one that has the plus, and that someone here has an iPhone 5 that still works.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
So, good for that person. That's something. That's a financially responsible person.
It really is. It really is. As we head to the
turning
hotline.
Down all the, turning down the financing options and everything.
Good, I know. I'm a sucker for all that. I'm a sucker for all that. We head to the hotline right now, and we welcome in our good friend. She is our fantasy football expert. You can get her on Twitter, at TheRealLisaAnn. Lisa Ann joining us on the show. Lisa, we were talking about Romeo Crennel, the Texans interim head coach. He's 73 years old. We were trying to guess what level iPhone his grandkids probably bought him or what he has still. What, I feel like you're on the cutting edge of everything. What level iPhone do you have?
I have the last one, which is what, the 11?
Yes.
Which just came out, the 12. So I have the 11 because, of course, I had to have the better camera feature. But, you know, you had said financially you have a listener that's held onto the 5. They're also very good at taking care of their phone, and they also probably don't take a lot of photos. Because when are you usually forced to get a new phone? When your storage is full.
Yeah.
And then you try to delete things from your phone, but it never really clears that memory properly, right? So, yeah, the camera and all the features. I mean, it's. I rushed out to get this phone because I had read that the new phone wasn't going to come with earbuds or a charger. So I was like, all right, let me just get one more that comes with everything, and then I'll be ready for the next phone in a year or so.
Yeah, all I know of the new phone is that they've screwed us once again on the whole charger situation. That it's not as simple as just like, hey, just use all your old stuff. No, spend $478 on all new adapters and everything. Good luck with that. And then lose it and have to go out and buy another one.
Right. And they're probably not that easy to find yet if you do lose it, because it is the different lightning bolt adapter. So, yeah, this is they like to throw us a curveball.
They do. They do. Lisa Ann joining us for her weekly visit, talking some fantasy football. We'll get into some specific players here in just a second, Lisa, but I feel like this is a combo fantasy football segment and coronavirus segment every week. And this week it's the Indianapolis Colts. Just a few hours ago, the latest team with a COVID outbreak. They're going through all the protocols right now. They're doing all the testing. We'll wait and see if a game gets delayed or postponed and things like that. I guess my question is there anything that you do as an owner of, I think you said 15 teams that you've got in fantasy, is there anything, any sort of sequence of things that you do when news like this breaks, that you look, if you look at who your opponent is, do they have any Colts? Do you try to maybe do some chess moves or some late wire waiver wire pickups? Like, when this news comes out for you this morning, what are the fantasy football related things that you are doing?
Not much, you know, because I think I was really well trained by baseball and how the baseball teams handled the outbreak. We can say the Marlins or the NFL's Titans, right? We got to see how they really pushed through it. So I don't make any panic moves yet, because then you're just adding time to managing your squads. In the leagues that I commission and the leagues that I was able to reach out to my commissioner, we just extended our benches and added more IR spots. So you're really not panicked, right? You've got 6 extra bench spots, so you have a much deeper team and a lot more options. It does get trickier now, because if games are moved, we're dealing with more bye weeks each week, right? So you're already losing some of your players that you cannot throw back. You're just waiting on them to come back from their bye week, but maybe you need that space. So everyone, don't panic. This is going to be an unusual fantasy football season. Winners of last season may not be winners of this season, and it's not because they're not great fantasy football team owners. It's because there's been so much news, and this overwhelming amount of news confuses people. I mean, it took me till Wednesday to realize, oh yeah, that's right, we don't have a Thursday game because we had a Tuesday game. It's just chaos. So just breathe, be patient. Hope for the best. The testing protocols are faster now, so they're able to go back and retest players. And also remember, this is cold and flu season. And though it's like criminal right now to have a cold or a flu, right? If you cough somewhere, people look at you like, oh my gosh, I know a guy sneezed and I was walking down the street the other day. I'd actually crossed the street. I'm like, hey, Lacey, just sneeze. Like, it might not be COVID. But here's where we're at. So with a player, like I heard you mentioning Odell Beckham, you know, going home with some flu symptoms, could really just be a cold. But it's really smart that now, with taking temperatures, being able to actually physically read someone's appearance when it comes to their level of being sick, you can send them home and isolate them. And so I think that's what we should all be doing in the workplace. I have a thermal digital temperature gun now. They use them everywhere in the city, any building that you walk into, any business you go to, they take your temperature. And hey, if this is one step in not risking other people, this is great. Most likely, Odell's going to come back with a negative test and we're going to realize he had a cold.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we don't panic when we have a COVID scare, do you panic when your quarterback's ankle gets snapped in two and it looks like his foot is detached from his body? And with Dak Prescott.
My emotional state.
How do you what's the best option for replacing Dak Prescott at this time?
Well, after I cried for a little while, I went and scoured the waiver wires for Andy Dalton. Not my first choice, but I still love the offense and I still don't like the defense. So I feel like Dallas is going to have to score a lot of points to stay in game. So it makes Andy Dalton a pretty valuable quarterback. Now, it's going to be on a wait and see approach. If you pick up Andy Dalton this week and he doesn't rock your world, well, that's okay because he hasn't really played with the one. So you're going to have to be patient with this. But what are your other options? I mean, Sunday was so interesting last week because wasn't it an emotional roller coaster? We see Alex Smith come in the game, and it was just so incredible to see him out there playing after, if you've watched Project 11 on ESPN Plus, which is such a great documentary about his recovery. And then the day ends with me like crying on my couch over Dak Prescott. It's not just the injury. It's the when a player is being removed from the field on a cart, and they're showing him, and he's trying not to cry. In my mind, I'm thinking all the things he's thinking. He's thinking, oh, I'm franchise tagged now. I didn't get that big paycheck, so now what does this mean for me next season? It's not just about the injury. It becomes about your future, your finances, your recovery. Yeah. That is such an emotional moment for an athlete to go through, and the fact that we witness it breaks my heart.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah, Andy Dalton might be more valuable now as the backup turned starter in Dallas than he ever was with the Cincinnati Bengals with all the weapons they've got there. Lisa Ann joining us for her weekly visit. What have Le'Veon Bell owners stumbled into here all of a sudden, Lisa?
This is so exciting. Yesterday, I was just fingers crossed Lev Bell goes to Kansas City just because he had the best chance of getting a ring. It's not that he's going to push Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of the way. He's willing to take a role as a backup because let's face it, he is still getting paid by the Jets. This is a great situation for a player. Lev Bell has not been a troubled player. He was incredible for the Steelers. They wouldn't pay him, so he held out. He's been an incredible businessman. He goes to the Jets, which is actually putrid. Then Adam Gase rolls up and doesn't really like him, and the battle began. Why stay in a losing situation? He was smart enough to be able to protect that money, smart enough to be able to take it with him, and now he goes to a team that has a chance to win. It's just mind-blowing, and I'm just really happy for him because NFL players don't always get the long end of the straw, right? They don't always get the good side, and I think for Lev Bell, this was the good side, and I think this worked out incredibly well for him.
How are you feeling about Justin Herbert right now?
Justin Herbert's a stud, man. I just think he's fantastic. I mean, sure, there's going to be moments where, you know, not winning games but putting points up, but not making a ton of mistakes either. Also being able to take some serious hits and recover. This has been a great experiment, and I think as a rookie, we had no expectations. It was quite by chance that he got to go in there and play, and he really earned that role. Think about if you are Hunter Henry, Keenan Allen, or Mike Williams. You love Justin Herbert. He is getting you the ball. He is bringing your stat line back up, which again adds to the marketing value for players when they're renegotiating contracts. So Herbert is a necessary tool for the Los Angeles Chargers, and it's been really fun to watch him play football. I really enjoy watching him play.
Are there some guys, Lisa, that you're, you know, on any of your teams? I'm sure you're on the phones and texts and calling people, working trades all the time. Do you have any certain players that you're either targeting as a buy low or that you're trying to kind of sell high on right now in particular across your teams?
You know, on a buy low, I'm trying to pick up TJ Hawkinson in a couple of leagues. He's going to see an uptick in production. I love him in the red zone. And I think tight ends, you know, we're starting to see some of the tight ends we may have expected to put some work in, which may have been Gronk. Maybe you want to tuck Gronk away on your bench and see what happens. Maybe pick up TJ Hawkinson. I also think J.K. Dobbins is a great pickup this week. DeAndre Swift, if you want to go there. Laviska Shenault. And Mike Williams. Mike Williams really wasn't owned because of Tyrod Taylor. Now it's the Mike Williams show with Justin Herbert. So, like, if you find Mike Williams out there, if you need a wide receiver and you have a running back, trades are to make both teams better. So go out and look at your league mates and see what they're lacking. You know, sometimes I'll send an email out. I just got one late last night. We're looking for running back help on our team from league mates of mine. I was like, okay, well, this is great. At least I know what their need is. Now I can go and look at their team, see where they can help me and offer them one of my running backs.
Are you one of those general managers people are scared to deal with because you always get over on trades?
I don't. I want trades to be fair because I want to do business with people, right? I don't want people to, like, I have a guy that I've been in leagues with for a couple of years where I just delete his trade offers as soon as they come in because I know they're going to be so lopsided. Once you burn out your customer, right? It's like a bad sale. Once you burn out your customer, nobody's going to want to trade with you anymore. So you want to make it fair. You want to engage. You want to see how this works out through the season. That's what GMs do in real sports. Yeah, don't be that person that just sends, like, everybody wants Tyreek Hill. I have him in, like, six leagues. And the offers I get for Tyreek Hill are like, are you kidding me? No way am I giving up Tyreek Hill for, like, no, I'm just not doing it.
Yeah, yeah, well.
That's where, sobriety helps you as a fantasy owner. Sometimes people are just trying to, I swear half of fantasy trade proposals are just guys hoping that somebody's drunk when they see the proposal.
Or they're drunk. They do a little drunk dialing. Lisa Ann joining us for her weekly visit. Lisa, let's do some stardoms and situms here for some people. They're rolling in on the text page, 713-572-4610. How about this one? Ryan Fitzpatrick or Gardner Minshew? I'm reading that one, and I'm not even, like, batting an eye. Like, though, these are two very viable fantasy football quarterbacks right now.
They are very viable fantasy football quarterbacks, but why wouldn't you just go with the laydown, right? You're going to play Ryan Fitzpatrick because he's playing up against the New York Jets, and they're just awful. Also, it's another one of his many revenge games because, you know, Fitz has played for almost every team, so he has a lot of revenge games. I like Minshew, but not so much up against Detroit when you have that option to go with Fitzmagic.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy at the wide receiver position? The Broncos have the Patriots and the Cowboys, the Cardinals on Monday night.
Yeah, I like the CeeDee Lamb play. I really do. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. Right now, the total points at like 54.5. I like CeeDee Lamb a little bit more than Jerry Jeudy with all the adjustments going on in Denver.
CeeDee Lamb's been awesome. He's become the number one there very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Yep. Ryan Tannehill, he goes against the Texans this weekend. Or Kirk Cousins going against the Falcons. Two quarterbacks going against teams with interim head coaches, Lisa.
I'm going to go Tannehill because I like what he does with the ball. I like how he controls the ball. You're not dealing with the losses when he throws picks. I'm going Tannehill all the way. The Tennessee Titans are slowly surprising us again this season.
Boy, how about this? Who would have thought this would be a question 5 weeks into the season? But to the point of CeeDee Lamb becoming the number one guy in Dallas, Amari Cooper or Chase Claypool, who was the player of the week last week.
I want to say Amari Cooper because it is the smarter decision. Yes, Chase Claypool had an amazing week, but remember, now there's tape out there. Now, you know, defense is going to be on high alert, and at the same time, you can't chase last week's points. I know the matchup looks really nice for Chase Claypool, but Amari Cooper has to get his soon with the money that he's making. I think Andy Dalton's going to force him the ball.
A couple more here at the wide receiver position. Justin Jefferson playing in that aforementioned game against the Falcons, or Cooper Kupp, who has the 49ers on Sunday Night Football.
I'm going Cooper Kupp. 49ers are missing a ton of their defense as well, and I think Cooper Kupp has a good game this week.
And the last one, tight end position. The Lions play the Jags, as you mentioned. TJ Hockenson, who you just mentioned as a potential buy-low guy, possibly a sleeper, or Zach Ertz. And the Eagles have, who do the Eagles have this week, Lisa? Where are they on here? The Ravens. They've got the Ravens.
The Eagles play the Ravens. I'm going to lay back. I'm going to fade Zach Ertz right now. I'm not sure if you know, there's some contract negotiations going on, a little bit of weirdness. There was some wire talk coming down the wire yesterday. He might be moved. Zach Ertz is not as good without the other receivers and without Dallas Goedert out there. He is double covered. That's really the issue. He's still an incredible tight end, so I'm going TJ Hockenson in this one.
Lisa, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time. You can get her on Twitter at TheReal. Lisa Ann joins us each and every Friday, wrapping up the show with some fantasy football talk. Lisa, appreciate the time. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Have a great weekend, you guys. Enjoy the games as well.
All right, there it is. Lisa Ann joining us for her weekly visit. All right, Seth. So here we are. Texans. We've got Texans Titans on Sunday at noon. We've got Astros Rays tonight at the very least, 5 o'clock. Hopefully yep. Saturday night. If there is a game 7, it would be 7:30 Saturday night. So we're sitting on the cusp of a weekend where we could have a game 7 in the ALCS on Saturday and then Texans football on Sunday.
I think that the Astros, I was about to say they'll win one of the next two, which would mean they would have
would
to.
Would be bad.
They would have to. Well, if they win one, that means there will be two. Yeah. So they have to win the next two. I feel good about tonight. I feel really good about Framber. I think this just has all the makings of a magical Framber postseason, and where you'll always remember 2020 when Framber really genuinely entered your life for the first time. You saw hints of it during the regular season, but this is when it really mattered over multiple appearances.
I'm really excited for this. This team is doing exactly what you and I, down the stretch of this sort of subpar regular season, they're doing exactly what you and I had hoped they would do, which is do just enough to get America really, really angry at them right now.
Right. And well, look at what we did. The hardest part about all this in this series was A, the luck, right? The Astros had really bad luck those first three games, but going into the playoffs, you had really good starting pitching and a really sketchy bullpen. Well, man, they survived the storm. Yesterday, that was it. That was the game that should have been their undoing. They survived it. Assuming luck balances back out and they keep hitting the ball as hard as they've been hitting it, and Framber pitches the way he's capable of doing, I feel really good about this evening.
All right. I want to make a quick mention here. If you want to get in and pick games against me and a bunch of other hosts from around the country, that is the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. You can win $1,000. There was no Thursday game this week, so you're not behind by a game here on a Friday. All the games are Sunday and Monday this week. Radio.com/picks. Radio.com/picks. No point spreads, no daily lineups. Just pick winners. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies to you. Apologies to anybody that I offended on the text line, but I also don't care if anything bad happens. You know.
Okay. Salty Seth in the 9 o'clock hour was fun for me this week.
It's going to be a good weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be a lot of fun. Seth, I'll see you on Sunday morning, 9 a.m. for Texans Countdown.
Let's do it.
All right. We will do it. Love the tune in the background. Good job, Ben Gary. In the Loop is up next. John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig. We will see you Sunday at 9 a.m. Texans Countdown, noon kick. And we'll see you Monday for Payne and Pendergast at 6 a.m. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.